Announcements made. I want each of you to know how much I appreciate your presence, that we've come together to worship the Lord in spirit and truth. And if you're visiting with this church family, we're delighted to have you in our study. We encourage you to take your Bible and study with us. I have no intention to belittle anything you might believe, and yet at the same time have the responsibility of preaching the truth of God. Should you find I've taught something wrong, I stand to be corrected. If you kindly show me the error of my way, I'll make the proper correction. In a few moments, we'll be standing and singing the song that's been suggested. If you've never put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made ready where you can confess that Jesus is the Son of God. And upon that confession, be immersed into Christ for the remission of sins and be added to the family of God and enjoy every spiritual blessing with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. If you have your Bible this morning, if you'll turn with me to the Gospel of Luke and the 4th chapter, I want to begin reading with you at verse 1, Luke chapter 4. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. In verse 2, being tempted for 40 days by the devil, and in those days he ate nothing, and afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. But Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, All this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. And Jesus answered and said to him, Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on high on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said to him, It has been said, You shall not tempt the Lord your God. Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. I'm sure it's on the mind of all Bible students that this is something that we've studied time and time again when Jesus was tempted by the devil. But there's a statement that maybe we've overlooked, and for just a few moments I want us to look at a statement made in the Gospel of Luke and the 4th chapter in verse 5. Notice at the latter part when the devil is tempting Jesus, and he's shown him all the kingdoms of the world. Look at that phrase, in a moment of time. If you have your Bible, if you would, underscore that phrase, in a moment of time. And what I'd like to do for just a few moments of our time is look at that statement and make some application to our life, and the lesson will be yours. Have you ever stopped to think that when Jesus was being tempted by the evil one on this occasion, had Jesus sinned, we would not have had a perfect sacrifice. Notice the Bible says he was tempted. He was both God and man, but humanity was tempted at this time. And notice that the devil is saying, look at all these kingdoms. I have the authority to give them to whoever I wish. You don't have to go to the cross to establish a kingdom. I'll give you all of these. And notice it said he showed them to him in a moment of time. And at that moment, no doubt, there was a temptation to Jesus. But notice that at that moment, Jesus stood firm and he said, Get behind me, Satan. I am impressed at the fact, my friend, that at that moment of time, Jesus stood firm and he knew what the will of the Father was, and he was not going to bow down to the evil one. And so for a few moments, let's just stop and think about some things that can be lost in a moment of time. Have you ever thought about, as our brother read just a few moments ago from the Hebrew letter, when we talked about in Hebrews 12, that man identified as Esau. You remember that man in a moment of time traded his birthright, something that was valuable, something that was of great importance, for just a morsel of food. And you'll recall that he is called a profane person because he was willing to trade something of great value for something that was temporary. He said, I'll tell you, I'll give you my birthright for just a taste of your stew, Jacob. And in a moment of time, he made a decision that he would regret. And as Brother Moss read, he sought to regain that birthright, but he could not because he already made the trade. And in a moment of time, he lost something that was precious. He lost something that was valuable because he was thinking of his stomach more than he was thinking of the blessing of God. But then if you take your Bible, I'd like for you to look at another example. If you take your Bible and look in 2 Samuel and the 11th chapter, you'll remember that on this occasion you'll find David, the mighty warrior, the sweet psalmist of Israel, the man after God's own heart. And yet when he is up on the on his house and he's looking over the city of Jerusalem, he looks down and he sees Bathsheba bathing. And that man, in that moment, allowed lust to conceive in his heart. And that man sent for that woman, and they committed the sin of adultery. Have you ever thought that in a moment of time, David did something he thought he'd never do? There was probably never in the mind of David that he would do what he did on that occasion. That he would take one of his own soldiers, Uriah the Hittite, his wife, and commit the sin of adultery. And then to cover the sin, not only did he lie, but David had Uriah put to death. Can you imagine how David felt later as we read in the 51st Psalm when he repents of his sin? That he recognized that in a moment of weakness, he did something that was contrary to God's will. In a moment of weakness, he did something that was going to cause him great grief the rest of his life. Have you ever thought what can happen in a moment of time? That in a moment, when we're least expecting it, we can have a temptation put before us, and if we're not ready to stand up to that temptation, I'll tell you, my friend, we can fall. And the day we think we won't fall, we need to remember what Paul said when he wrote to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 10 and 12 when he said, he who thinks he stand, take heed lest he fall. I care not if you're an elder, a preacher, a deacon, whoever you may be. I'll tell you, my friend, any one of us can fall. If David could fall, then you and I can fall. And in a moment of time, just in a moment, instead of thinking about what the will of God is, we think about pleasing our fleshly desire, and we can commit a sin that will have grave consequences. But then if you take your Bible for just a moment, look if you will at Peter. And turn to the book of Luke in the 22nd chapter, and you'll remember that the Lord told Peter that before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times. And Peter said, oh no, Lord, if I have to go to the grave, I will die with you. But what does Peter do? Three times he denies the Lord. Now sometimes we sit back and act like we wouldn't have done it. But my friend, in a moment of time, when you're facing great trial, when you're facing the possibility of death, sometimes we don't know what we'll do. You know, I've had people tell me what they would and would not do, and then when they're faced with that circumstance, they do the exact thing they thought they'd never do. And here you find Peter denying the Lord three times. In a moment of time, he said, I am not his disciple. I know not the man. And he called down curses. But then if you take your Bible, look in the book of Acts in the 24th chapter. And when you come to the book of Acts in the 24th chapter, you'll remember there was a man identified as Felix. And you'll remember that Paul had been put in prison and Felix would send and listen to him preach. And if you will, look at verse 25 very carefully. And the Bible says, as Paul reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid. I like the King James Version. Felix trembled and answered, go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you. You know what's sad about that? in that moment of time when his heart was touched and pricked, he should have obeyed the gospel, but instead he sent Paul away. And we have no record where that man ever made his life right. In a moment of time when he'd heard the truth and he heard about righteousness and self-control and the judgment to come, he should have said, I'll obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. But instead he sends Paul away. But then look again in the book of Acts in the 26th chapter and look at a man identified as Agrippa. And look at what this man lost in a moment of time. When you remember that Paul stood before Agrippa and he stood before Festus. And you remember that Agrippa had heard what Paul had been saying about the prophets. And notice what he says in verse 27 when Paul said, King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do believe. And Agrippa said, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. You know what the sad word in that is? Almost. In a moment of time, that man heard the truth of God. And yet he was not willing to receive it. I'll tell you that in a moment of time, you can lose something that is very precious. Whether it be an opportunity to do right, an opportunity to stand up. In a moment of time, you can lose something precious by losing your innocence, by turning your back on God, doing something you never thought you'd do. But that brings up the second thought in our study. Have you ever thought that there's something you can gain in a moment of time? Have you ever stopped to think that there are some things that we can gain? Look in your Bible, and if you will, kindly, at Peter for just a moment. And when you look back at Peter, notice in the book of Luke, and the 22nd chapter, in verse 62, that man, after his sin, went out and wept bitterly. That man repented of his sin. In a moment of time, that man said, I realize what I've done was wrong against my God. What I've done was a sin against my Father. I've sinned against the Christ. And that man repented of his sin. In a moment of time, he saw what he'd done. He saw he was wrong. He saw he had sinned. And that man made his life right with God. In a moment of time. But then think, if you will, about another individual. Take your Bible and look, if you will, in the book of Luke in the 15th chapter. And you remember in the book of Luke in the 15th chapter when the prodigal son had gone out and lived in the far country. What did that man do in a moment of time? The Bible says in Luke 15 when he's out feeding the swine, when the famine had come and he spent every dime on sin, he came to himself. I like that statement. He came to his senses. Sin is contrary to God's will. At any time we're living in sin, we're living in insanity because we're living contrary to the purpose for which we were created. And in a moment of time, he came to his senses and he said, I will arise and go to my Father. And I'll say to my Father, I'm not worthy to be your son. Just let me be a servant. Just let me live on the land. And in a moment of time, he went home. And notice the father ran and greeted him. And the father embraced him and kissed him and restored him as a son. In a moment of time, that young man made his life right. But then think about someone else. Think about that man identified as Saul of Tarsus, later known as Paul. In Acts chapter 9, you'll remember when he is baptized for the remission of sins. You remember that when Ananias came to him, when Paul recounts his conversion in Acts 22:16, he said, Ananias said to him, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, washing away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Have you ever thought that in a moment of time, there are some things that can be gained? Now I want to take that. I want to make three or four thoughts in the lesson here. The first thing I want to put into our mind is that the young men and young ladies, I want to put into your heart that in a moment of time, you can lose something precious that you can never get back. And what you need to learn right now is to make up your mind that when your temptation comes, that like Jesus, you're going to say, no, I'm not going to bow down to the evil one. Because in a moment of time, you can lose your innocence, and that's something you'll never be able to get back. And young men and young ladies, I'll tell you something. We need to make sure that we put in our heart that we're here to please God first. But something else I want to tell you. In a moment of time, an individual can do something they never thought they'd do, like commit adultery. Some of us who are older need to make sure that we're on guard, that we are living right, and that we're doing what we need to be doing to give God glory so that we live near God, draw near to God, and that we're with our spouse and we're doing what we need to do. In a moment of time, you can do something you never thought you'd do. How many people become addicted to drugs or anything like that because they've done something in a moment of weakness, just in a moment of time. And because of that, they're fighting it. But I want you to think about something else in our study. In a moment of time, there's some great things to be gained. Though in a moment we can sin, isn't it wonderful that by the grace of God we can be forgiven? That salvation can come in a moment of time. That if an individual's not been baptized, that they can come this morning and that in this moment they can be immersed into Christ and have their sins blotted out by the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a thought that God would love me enough that I could have my sins forgiven. And then to think about that in a moment of time, I can be adopted into the family of God and I can have a spiritual family. As I look out, I don't know your names yet and I'm thankful for your patience. It's going to take me time. Some of you I may have welcomed as guests last night and I apologize about that. I'm trying to get to know you. But I'll say this, I've been impressed with you. And I'm glad I have a spiritual family at O'Neill. Because you know what I see? I see people that want to go to heaven are trying to help one another get to heaven. And I'll tell you, that's important. God saw the wisdom of the local church. It's a shame that some of my brethren don't see it. It's a shame that some of my brethren don't see the importance of coming together. But I'll tell you, He said, let us come together to stir one another up to good works. How can we stir one another up if we're not here to do it? In a moment of time, you can be adopted into a spiritual family that cares about you. But more importantly, in a moment of time, you can have God be your Father. But that brings up something else. There's some things that need to be done in this moment of time. If you're at odds with someone in the family of God, now's the time to mend that relationship. Sometimes we just sit back and say, well, I might mend it later. I'll tell you something. The Bible says if you have aught against your brother, you need to make that right. There are some things that need to be done in this moment. Because you know something? We don't know if we'll have another moment. Because as our brother said just a moment ago, Brother Smith, death is no respecter of person. Your age, it doesn't matter if you're 32, 42, 82. Death can come with the snap of a finger. And I'll tell you something. When that time comes, the most important question will be not, as Brother McDaniel brought out in the Bible class, how much money did you have in your bank? I heard one fellow one time was at a funeral and he said, how much money did he leave? And one of them looked at him and said, all of it. He didn't take any of it with him. And it's not going to matter what house you lived in. What's going to matter is, did you live for God? Open your Bible, if you will, to 1 Corinthians 15:52. And notice what's going to happen in a moment of time. In 1 Corinthians 15:52, it says, in a moment, underscore that, in the twinkling of an eye, with the blink of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. He's coming again. And it's going to happen in a moment of time. The question I have for you is, if you're not right with God, will you take advantage of this moment of time? What if this was the last opportunity you had? Wouldn't it be a shame the Lord said, I gave you a moment of time. But like Agrippa and Felix, you said no. Come back at a more convenient time. I'll tell you something, my friend. Christianity's not about convenience, it's about conviction. And when I'm convicted, I better obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you need to obey the gospel, our prayers you'll do so this morning as together we stand and sing, we cordially invite you to come.